One Man's Family, brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer and many other fine, dependable pharmaceutical products. Overheard between Hazel and Dan Murray in the front room of their home.
Hazel, my dear, you've been jumping up and down all day long. Now just relax.
But Dan, wouldn't you think Pinky would at least phone us so we'd know he's all right?
He's probably off somewhere having a wonderful time for himself. Oh, don't worry. He'll show up, brash as ever.
Mm-hmm. So that's how it is with the barbers today. How about it, friends? Do you like your biggest meal of the day in the evening? And do you sometimes eat more than you should? Well, that's only natural. Most of us do on occasion. And sometimes the result is an uncomfortable, acid-upset feeling in the stomach. And what do we do for it? Well, I can tell you what thousands of folks depend on for relief. Alka-Seltzer. Yes, a glass of bubbling, sparkling Alka-Seltzer can give you the fast, effective relief you want. Have you feeling shipshape again in almost no time. Remember this simple little rule. Whenever acid indigestion causes distress, be wise. Alkalize with Alka-Seltzer. Chapter 15, Book 79. Three blocks down and two blocks over from the Barber family home in Seacliff, San Francisco, is the Murray household. It has been in a state of turmoil since last evening when Hazel telephoned Pinky's dormitory at Stanford and found that her son was no longer in residence there. It is afternoon now, and there still has been no word from the unpredictable Pinky. Hazel is torn between exasperation and anxiety as she goes for the 20th time and looks out the window onto the street. Her husband, Dan, is doing his best to reassure her.
Hazel, darling, will you come here and sit down?
Just a minute, Dan. There's a car coming down the street. Maybe Pinky might...
Oh, look, my dear. You've been jumping up and down like this all day long. Just relax.
That car stopped up the block. Oh, Dan, I know it's ridiculous to get myself in a state like this, but I can't imagine why he wouldn't at least telephone us and tell us where he is.
But I've tried to tell you. He doesn't know you're worried. He has no way of knowing you called his dormitory last night. He's probably off somewhere having a wonderful time for himself.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, first time I've seen you smile today.
I suppose I have been acting pretty awful, haven't I?
Well, unduly motherly, maybe.
All right, Mr. Dan Murray, but I don't think you're as unconcerned as you're pretending to be.
Oh, look, Hazel, nothing has happened to Pinky. I'm absolutely certain of it. The kid's got himself in a financial jam, and he's failing in his studies, and he's afraid to tell us. That's about what it amounts to. But as far as Pinky himself, you can rest assured he's all right.
I don't understand his leaving his dormitory. Why would he do that?
Well, my dear, they might have asked him to leave for the very good and simple reason that he's no longer a student.
Oh, you think he's flunked out?
Would you be surprised?
No, I've been expecting it.
Well, okay. If he's flunked out and he's got himself in debt, plus who knows what, he'd be a little hesitant to tell us about it, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So your son is somewhere trying to screw up enough courage to come home and face us.
Oh, Dan, what are we going to do? If he has flunked out and all the rest, we've got a real problem on our hands with that boy.
Yes, I know. Just the thought of it makes me a trifle weak in the pins. Well, why don't we sit down, huh?
Yes, I'm beginning to worry about us instead of him now.
Well, it's a lot healthier. I'll tell you, why don't we get in the car and go for a drive? It'll be good for you to get out for a while.
Oh, I'd love to, Dan, but Margaret will be getting home from school in a little bit, and she'd be worried if we weren't home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I hadn't thought of that.
She's upset about Pinky, so she'll come rushing home to see if there are any new developments.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Oh, poor Dan. You didn't realize what you were getting into when you married me, did you?
I certainly did. I knew I was getting a wonderful wife.
And three children who were putting gray hairs in your head. You think it's been worth it?
Come here. Sit down in my lap. I want to tell you something. You listen?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trade places with anybody in
the... Oh, there's the telephone. I'll answer it. Hello? Well, where have you been, young man?
I take it that's Pinky.
What? Where are you now? Well, I should hope so. I wouldn't waste any time either if I were you. Yes, he's right here. He wanted to know if you were here, Dan.
Looking like a thundercloud, Tilly.
I was talking to Dan. He said... Oh, that's the doorbell, Dan. You want to go?
Activity breaking out all over the place.
I didn't hear what you said, Pinky. Who's bringing you home? What friend? Well, there are a lot of other things I don't know either, but I'll expect to hear about them when you get home. Where were you last night? Well, you weren't at the dormitory. I called there. They told me you weren't living there anymore. That you... who is at the door, Dan?
A registered letter.
Oh. Yes, Pinky, I'm still here. I'm talking to Dan.
It's addressed to both of us. I'll open it.
Pinky, how long will you be? Well, I wouldn't advise you to dawdle, young man. Dan and I have about reached the end of our patience. What? How could I help being angry? Well, we won't discuss it on the phone.
Just a second, Hazel. Let me talk to him.
Oh, Pinky, Dan wants to talk to you.
Hello. Hello. I just wanted to tell you not to come home with any false ideas that we don't know what the situation is. I mean this. I'm holding in my hand a little communication from Stanford about you. What? That's exactly what it is. Well, I just wanted you to know that we know, so we'd be spared any cock and bull story you might be dreaming up to tell us. Oh, no, no, I'm not angry, Pinky. I'm boiling mad. Now, hurry up and get home. Goodbye.
Dan, what's in the letter? Oh. Did you say it was from Stanford?
Yes, looks registered. Guess they wanted to make sure we got it. Here, I'll read it to you. Pleasant bit of intelligence. My dear Mr. and Mrs. Murray, we regret to inform you that your son, William Herbert Murray, has been unable to meet scholastic requirements for the current quarter at the university and is therefore ineligible to continue his studies.
He flunked out.
Correct. Would you like to hear the rest of it?
Can't be any worse.
After the first of the coming year, he may apply... See, that's underlined. He may apply for reinstatement to the eligibility list. Such reinstatement, however, will be subject to the approval of the Board of Admissions. If such application is made, the board will then give consideration to Mr. Murray's petition, now on file, to transfer from business administration to forestry. We enclose a copy of his scholastic record. Yours very truly.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to frame this record and hang it up in his room.
Are his marks very bad?
Well, not all that can be said for them is that they're varied. There are two Fs. That's complete failure.
Oh, no, Dan.
Two Fs, two Ds.
That's barely passing. Go on.
One C, one A.
What was the A in?
Physical education.
Oh.
We sent him to college, and he's learned to hit a tennis ball.
Oh, he's always been very good at tennis.
Well, then he hasn't learned anything.
It's just that he hasn't worked, Dan. He's got plenty of brains.
Well, he's going to work from now on and at hard labor.
And now, Dan, we've got to be careful. We don't want to break his spirit.
Well, what about our spirit? What's he done to them?
Yes, I know, but... Oh, I've got to call home right away. I promised Mother to phone her the minute I got any word from Pinky. Excuse me, Dan.
Yeah, Father Barber will be overjoyed to hear of his grandson's success, I'm sure.
What'd you say, Dan?
Oh, I was just mumbling.
Oh. I suppose I should phone Hank over in Berkeley, too. He's terribly upset about his brother.
Too bad Pinky couldn't have a little more of Hank.
Hello? Father? Hazel. Well, yes, what's the matter? Didn't you recognize my voice? Well, maybe I do sound a little strange. Yes, we've heard from him. He ought to be home any minute now. He said he was with some friend who was driving them.
Yes, yes. I'm glad you finally heard from him, Hazel.
Well, I should think so.
Everything's all right? No.
What is it, Henry?
May serve as a good lesson to him. Yes.
Let me talk to Hazel, Henry.
What's that? Fanny keeps interrupting.
Hmm.
Oh. Oh, of course. All right, my dear. Goodbye.
Henry, I wanted to talk to Hazel.
Apparently she had to get off the phone. Margaret just got home and was asking her all sorts of questions.
Oh. What about Pinky?
Yes. Failed.
What?
Flunked. He's out of Stanford.
Oh, poor Pinky.
Yeah, poor Pinky. He's poor parents. I tell you, Fanny, if I had the say of that young man, I'd make him toe the mark from here on in. Shows you what too much indulgence will do.
No such thing. They haven't indulged Pinky any more than they have Hank. And look what he's doing at California, making a wonderful record.
I can't understand where Pinky gets his instability. His father was a fine, steady man. Yes. Well, you couldn't ask for a more substantial man than William Herbert was.
Well, you can't blame Pinky's stepfather, surely. Daniel's been wonderful with Hazel's children.
That's what I'm saying, Fanny. Where does the boy get this streak? Failing in college. Disgraceful.
Well, it didn't come as any great surprise. Did Pinky tell them?
No, they just received an official announcement from the university. Must have been a shock even if they were expecting it.
Yes, of course. Where has Pinky been? Did Hazel say?
Spent the night with some friends. He's driving him home. Hazel said they were expecting him any minute now.
Hey, take a look out front, dear.
Oh, Clifford, you startled me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I just wanted you and Dad to take a gander at who stopped out in front of the house.
Huh?
Come on over here at the window. Car as long as a locomotive just pulled up in front of the house. And Pinky got out of it.
You say Pinky's out there?
But no world. What's he doing here?
Hey, there's a dame at the wheel.
Huh?
Sure is. Well, she'd get out so I get a look at her. I wonder where Pinky picked her up.
Henry, I thought you said he was with a boy.
Yeah, I didn't say anything about it, Fanny.
You said he spent the night with a friend and he was driving him home.
I was simply repeating what Hazel said. Don't hold me responsible for what that boy does.
Look, Pinky's getting his suitcase out.
Do you suppose Pinky left something here he wants to pick up?
Maybe didn't want Hazel and Dan to see who was bringing him home. There she goes. Boy, look at that car. It glides away like a zephyr. The dame's as good-looking as her automobile. Pinky's got something.
Well, let's go sit down. I'm glad he didn't see us all peeping out the window at him.
Yes, yes. I don't like the looks of it.
Don't like the looks of what, Dad?
That boy's going to find himself in trouble before he's through.
Uncle Cliff.
Pinky's calling you, Clifford.
In the library, Pink.
You alone?
No, Dad and Mom are in here.
Would you come here a minute?
Sure, okay.
Huh?
He wants to see me, Dad. Coming right up, Pinky.
Hi, Uncle Cliff.
Well, Pink, I just got a gander at that car you drove up in.
Yeah. Say, you busy?
No, why?
Will you come on home with me?
Hmm? No?
Yeah, you could stay and have dinner with us.
Well, wait a minute, I haven't been invited.
Well, I'm inviting you now.
Oh, thanks, Pink, but
please, Uncle Cliff. Please, come home with me.
Well, but why?
To help me out.
Huh?
I'm in a jam. If there's somebody there that'll be on my side, maybe Mom and Dan won't be so rough on me.
The Barbers will be back in just a moment. When someone in the family has symptoms of a cold, what's the thing to do?
I have the answer to that, Mr. Barton. Take Tabson, quick. We found out about Tabson by listening to this program, and I'll tell you, we think it's fine. We like the way it helps relieve the sneezing and the sniffles.
Yes, it's the effective antihistamine in Tabson that does that. But Tabson is an improved antihistaminic cold tablet. It does even more, you know.
Sure, you bet I know. I sometimes have a headache when I have a cold, and Tabson really helps to relieve that stuffed-up, headachey, sort of feverish feeling. Like I said, we think it's fine.
Well, it's certainly true that Tabson is a better formula for relief of discomforts of a cold than any antihistamine alone. We'd like you to find out for yourself how effective Tabson is, friends. So get a package the next time you're in the drugstore. Be sure you get Tabson, T-A-B-C-I-N, the bright red tablets in the bright red package. Then next time you take cold, take Tabson, quick. Here's the family again.
Clifford, what did Pinky want?
He wanted me to go with him and help him face the music. Said he was in a jam.
Yeah. Did he say anything about that girl who drove him up here?
The one thing he wouldn't talk about, Dad, was the dame in the car.
Yeah. Spells further trouble, no doubt.
Now, don't forget, friends, next time you take cold, take Tabson, quick. Feel better, quick. T-A-B-C-I-N, Tabson, now at all drugstores for relief of hay fever and cold discomfort. Tabson is the improved antihistaminic tablet made by the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Tabson relieves sniffles and sneezes, the watering and itching of the eyes and nose, but Tabson does more. It can also relieve quickly and effectively the headache that is so often a part of the misery of a cold. That's Tabson, T-A-B-C-I-N, for cold misery. The bright red tablets in the bright red package at all drugstores. One Man's Family is brought to you every weekday night at this time, transcribed by Miles Laboratories, makers of Alka-Seltzer. Monday, Pinky Faces the Music, Chapter 1, Book 80. This is a Carlton E. Morse production, directed by Michael Raffetto.